Last weekend, freelance photographer Tom Brenner was the subject of an In Focus conversation, a collaboration between the nonprofit Albany Documentary Works and WAMC. On stage at the Linda, WAMC's Performing Arts Center in Albany, Brenner presented selections from his portfolio covering the White House and President Trump. I asked him how his experience working in a daily newsroom prepared him for following President Trump on Air Force One.
I think that was like the wake-up call that, you know, we need deadlines to be met. You know, you have to produce pictures at a certain time. Whereas in school, you know, you have end of days, or you have a week, or you have, you know, this sort of loosely fit time. And this was at the newspaper. The editor was like, okay, I need this at 11 a.m. And you had this sort of pressure cooker system to make creative action to produce something. And it's not always pretty. And you think about that, you know, where you went wrong maybe that day, and that pushes you to be more creative and quicker. And I think that was like a base foundation on how to be creative on command anywhere. In D.C., especially with these times where we don't get a lot of opportunities to see the people we have to photograph, with four other people around you, the demand is at an all-time high.
How do you fight your way to the top when you're getting into that White House press corps? And you talked a little bit about wrestling for the spots in the photo tree, but how do you actually get into that group of only, you know, 10, 20 people at a time sometimes?
Usually putting money down on the floor. It's a good way to find your spot. On a broader scale about that, it's about the relationships you have with your colleagues. I'm kind of one of the younger people working in that environment. A lot of those guys have been around I think one person has been there since Jimmy Carter and has seen so much. And you have so much respect for them. And categorically speaking, you may not be in the same, you know, they have done things longer for you, but their organization maybe is a little lower tiered, or they're on some outside group, and you have more of a dominance in where you should place your spot. So it's kind of a ebb and flow of like, well, you know what, you can go here, you can go dead center, I'm going to go far left today, and it works out for that day. And it's sort of how your peers affect, how you work with your peers is how you can get things done. You got to be in communication, and you got to be in good communication with everybody else.
And does that go the same way when you're interacting with the White House staff and getting access? You had mentioned in your presentation about, well, this event is closed press, but with a little convincing and negotiating, you can get your way in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's times like when the White House staff members, they make sure that you get out, and, you know, if the president says thank you after he's done talking, it's time to leave. And for example, there's so many of us in some small rooms that it takes a minute for us to slowly get out. And in that window of slowly walking out, you know, maybe I could snap a quick picture while the president is sitting here waiting for us to leave. You know, and maybe that's what I wanted to cover that day instead of this, you know, hand gestures and stuff. And the people that manage your life at the press office, you know, they know what you're doing, and the president doesn't always like that. And maybe it was a great picture, but I've got a great relationship with the people in that office, and, you know, I don't want to burn that relationship, you know, slowly by making those choices, and it could be for better or for worse. I think experience is the way to make that moral choice. To each his own on that. I mean, it depends on the situation.
And I'll ask one more question, and then we'll see if anyone from the audience would like to ask a question as well. You talked about, I'm going to go in and I'm going to get the president at his desk with his arms crossed. How much planning goes into taking a photo of one particular subject? And then you may have one subject in mind and something else completely different actually happens. So how much planning goes into maybe one photo that you need versus being able to turn on a dime and take a picture of something that is in the moment?
It's, I don't think there's any written guide for that. And like going back on the experience factor, you're going into a room that's locked away and only open at selective minutes. You've got to figure out who would potentially be there, and you have to do your best to make yourself accessible to turn around. Sometimes, like, you literally can't turn because there's so many people in a room, and you have to be quick and you have to have everything on your camera set for that 1 second before, you know, so whichever person you're looking for that day maybe didn't want to have their photo taken, you know, because it was a critical moment and then during the day for them, their meetings didn't go so well and they're in a grumpy mood. And you've got to have that one, you know, real quick or else he's gone for another week. It's up, down, 360, truly.
When you're getting used to your days, and I know in working in news, you have to, up here with my position, it's whatever happens during the week, you got to be there. But on these days, when you're 6 in the morning at a hearing and you're up until 4 a.m. the following night, where do you get any sleep?
On the carpet
in the
somewhere.
Van.
Yeah, in the van, on the carpet, against the wall. Fan app on your phone is great if you need to drown out your colleagues, you know, if you need to find some escape. Don't recommend a lot of coffee, you know, if you try to fight through it. Self-care is huge. I mean, especially with the state of the industry today, there's less staffers, there's more freelancers. And with that, they have the ability, freelancers have the ability to keep saying yes. And there's no necessarily obligation for the client to say, no, you've been overworked, you know. And in this case for Trump, it's so crazy that they'll take anybody. If you say, yeah, I'll do it, you know, you can overwork yourself. I mean, I had in the fall, I think I just, we scheduled it. It happened to be that way, but I had worked 22 days straight on the road, and I was a mess afterwards. I gained weight. I was exhausted all the time. It was, you know, you're cranky. It's never pretty, and you got to take care of yourself. It's, you know, one of the necessities of, I think, of freelancing that we don't realize because it's, is it feast or famine? You know, a lot of us are now, you know, you got to make rent. Rent goes up. You know, insurance is expensive. Camera gear is expensive. Everything, you know, it's always on your mind. And you throw yourself at it, and sometimes it doesn't work out on the other end.
Sure. Do we have a question, Kyle?
You mentioned that Trump gives you more time than Obama did. I know you weren't there when Obama was president, but do you feel he's more comfortable with photographers than Obama was? Because it certainly doesn't show, you know, in the White House photographer's work, the woman who's his photographer now, I know he's not probably not getting much access, but do you feel he's more comfortable with you guys?
I think so. I think it's, you know, at heart, he's kind of, he's an actor, or he's, you know, he was on television, he had a show. There's a little bit of a, not maybe a front to it, there's an image presented, a projection out, but it may seem like he's thinking one thing and he's okay with it. You know, he likes the attention and he wants to make sure, you know, it goes in his best interest. And the access has been amazing. Truly, it's been, you know, you'll spend hours, you'll get bored, or an editor will call you and say, hey, did you file those pictures yet? And you're like, no, I'm still in the room. I can send you a phone picture. We're still in here an hour later. But yeah, he's been very open to us being there. When I was, what I heard from the Obama days was, you know, each administration can really set the terms of how they want their product to be seen. And in this case, the Obama days, it was, you know, you had 1, 2, 3 minutes to get in and out of a room with 5 or 6 photographers, plus the official photographers, and plus any other TV cameras that wanted to come in. And it was kind of like a logjam without even really seeing much. So, yeah, this guy, I think he likes it. Maybe not most days, but seems that he's never really too camera shy.
Next question.
So you mentioned a lot about like the pre-scheduled or pre-calendared events that you've been able to capture that are like really pivotal moments. But I'm curious if there are like maybe one or two of those types of engagements that actually surprised you with the amount of like good content that you've been able to get out of. That was my first question. The second question is, if it's okay, do you actually still get M&Ms on Air Force One?
The second one, I do. Haven't flown in a while, so I'm running a little low on that supply. And you first one was, do I get good content on like the pop-up events that happen to occur? And like,
yeah,
oh,
like one or two of them.
Like, oh, wow, I'm glad that happened. Yeah. Trying to think. When we responded to the Syrian airstrike, the Syrian chemical bombings. And finally, Trump was like, we're not going to have this. We're going to respond. And Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the press secretary, she will at times, or other deputy secretaries will come and approach the press and say, hey, look, this might happen, so be on your toes. You can't say anything about this until we make the call, but we want to make sure you're ready so that way it goes out and goes out quick, the news, the word of, you know, what's happening. The surprise one day is we were held in so late, and of course they wouldn't tell you anything about a big deal event like that until it happens. But they called in the travel pool, which is a smaller group of us, the group that flies. We were actually at the White House. It was about 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And Sarah Sanders brought us in. I think there was a few missing. So there was probably like 4 or 5 of us. And she came up. We got in a circle. She said, all right, look, here's the deal. We just bombed, you know, we just launched 7 Hellfire missiles on Syrian bases. Like, the president's about to address the nation. Like, we had no idea. So it is like, have your gear ready at the, you know, right then and there. And immediately we're getting lined up to go in to get the picture. And here he is coming into the diplomatic room, and he's got this like sourpuss face on, you know, because it was a very critical time. And, you know, that was one of the times it's like, I'm glad I was here, not out getting dinner, because anything can happen.